So this will give you some announcement. Rob is doing good. Come through his surgery, doing well. Just continue to hold him up in prayer. There's a certain amount of pain that he is in, of course, from that surgery. He said possibly he might come home Monday or Tuesday. But who knows? We'll just wait and see how things go for him. But continue to hold him up in prayer. God did some good things in his life. He didn't have to get four vertebrae fused together, only three. He did send me a picture of that, so I can show it to you. It's on my phone. But I looked at it and I said, wow, amazing what they're able to do today for that. And he's very grateful. Pam and him says, tell the people of the church, thank you for your prayers and your love and the outpouring of your kindness to them. They really appreciate that. And they just want to let you know that they're very appreciative of that in that way. So thank you for, you know, holding them up in prayer and praying for them in that way. A couple other things just want you to be mindful of. Afterwards, we do have some refreshments that we're going to be serving, cake and finger foods, just to commemorate the members that we'll welcome in, as well as the baby dedication. So we trust that you'll stay after church for a time of fellowship in the back, okay? And come back, even if you have to leave, come back, get something and leave with it, because you know we always have more than enough stuff. So we want you to invite you to that in that way. Another note, we have some dead trees on the property. So if you would want some wood, you're going to have to do it. We can't help you because of liability, but you're welcome to, you can see the trees, come down. Cut up the wood, clean it up. Don't leave dead branches there for somebody else to clean up. But if you do want wood, you cut it down and clean it up and get everything out of there. If you know of somebody who would want some firewood, we can present it to them in that way. Say, hey, we got some dead trees on our property. You can cut them down and take it all away. If not, we're going to hire somebody to take them down and get them out of here. And we just can't have dead trees lying around. It causes and can be a liability issue. And we don't want a liability issue, do we? So I just want to make that mention to you on that part. And then lastly, before I get in my word, thank you for praying for my wife and I. We had a great time away in Williamsburg, a good restful time, and we had a good time. Glad to be back. Still trying to get in the sort of things and trying to get running again and going again and looking at the mountain that grew when I was gone, and I didn't even water it, but it grew. But we'll get through it. Just give me some time. We'll do, and we'll get good. Again, thank you, everyone, for cleaning the church. Debbie, is there still more stuff to be done? Okay. So look at that. Talk to Debbie if you have any questions. But I thank you for everyone who has done things. If you notice, the walls in the sanctuary are patched up and painted, and thank you for those that were involved with that. That was a work in itself, and other places things are being happened. You may say, oh, I don't notice that. You're right, you don't, because you don't probably look at that, but we see it, and we are grateful that that got taken care of as well. So, we're very thankful and grateful for what God is doing, and we want to continue to give him the glory for that. Okay, I think I covered everything that I needed to cover. We're going to be looking today at John chapter 4, verses 39 to 42. I want to talk to you today. I was going to talk to you before I went on vacation, but we had such a move of God there in one of our services that we didn't get to it. I want to talk to you about the power of a testimony. The power of a testimony. And in John chapter 4, verses 39 to 42, we're going to stand once again in honor reading the word of the Lord. And it reads, many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. Why did they believe? Because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I have ever done. I don't know if I want God to tell me everything I ever done. It might take his eternity to tell of everything that I've done. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them. And he stayed there for 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. And they said to the woman, It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world. Let us pray. Father, today we just want to thank you for your love and your grace and your peace that you pour out upon us. Without you, Lord, we're nothing. Without you in our lives, we are undone and we're unfit. But with you, O God, you make all things new. You even said in your word that if any person be in Christ, he's a new being. The old has passed away. Behold, new can only come. And we ask you today, O God, do new things among us. Do new things in our lives. Do new things on our behalf, we pray. And we thank you for it now. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Today I want to talk to you about testimonies, what they are. What they are. Businesses have known the power of testimonies for years. Businesses have known the power of testimonies for years. Many people have brought products because of its alluring qualities. Because of its alluring qualities. I remember one time my family and I, we were watching TV and an infomercial came on. And the infomercial was how you can trim the nails of cats and dogs. And so the infomercial, we had six cats and we had a dog, and cutting their nails are not always fun times. A lot of times they didn't want their nails to be cut. But we did that because we didn't want to bring them to the vet. It cost money. So they had this, maybe you saw this contraption. It was a sand wheel. And it was long, and it had a cap on it, and it had a hole in it. And it was a sander. It was a wheel that sanded. And you would stick the cat's nails in there, and it would sand the nails down. And we said, oh, we got to get that. All our kids and my wife and I, okay, we'll get it. And we went and bought it. And when we got it, we put the batteries in it. We got the cat, we got the dog all together. We turned that thing on and made so much noise, they were lickety-split gone. That contraption that we bought, that we were allured to do something for us, was a bummer. It failed, and it sat in our closet until we had a woman's tag sale. And we put it in the woman's tag sale. And if it didn't sell, it went to Salvation Army or reuse. But businesses, they know the power of testimonies. They know, just because it was on the TV. Now, there was other things we bought over the years, and we could really embarrass ourselves with some of the things that we bought. Mops and dusters and you name it, shade cleaners. I won't even get over it. Blind cleaners. You've probably all been there. We're not the only suckers there are out there. And probably you could tell me even more things than what I'm saying. But businesses understand the power of testimony, the power to allure somebody and get them trapped into something to believe, we got to have it. We got to have it. And as I thought about the power of testimony and how businesses use the testimonies of people, good and bad, don't get me wrong, there are some good testimonies that are out there, good things that happen in people's lives. And then God just quickened my heart and says, what about my church? What about my church? My church has a testimony. Everyone who's sitting here today, you have a testimony of how God has done something in your life. A testimony that you can share with somebody else. A testimony that you can share with someone to encourage their heart or to lighten their heart or to give them something that they can hope in. The church has a power in our hands, in the decisions that we made, and it's profoundly just not shaping our lives, but it can influence the lives of countless people. But if we don't share our personal testimony, we can't impact other people's lives, can we? We can't. We often underestimate the power of our testimony. A one-person testimony has so much power, in particular when it inspires others to get encountered with Jesus Christ. That's what a testimony is. A personal testimony is the ability to share some experience from your journey of faith with others in a critical part of their life and also in Christianity. That's what your testimony does. It's an ability that you share with others of what Christ has done for you. And if you're not willing to share that, you have the ability to share it, but if you're not willing to share it, Christ is not going to be introduced to them. I think about as we were on vacation and we went to Colonial Williamsburg, what a rich heritage there. Who's been to Colonial Williamsburg before? What a rich heritage of our nation's birth and everything that's taken place there. And the history that is there and the formation of our nation and formation of colonies and then, of course, the states that became the United States of America. What history that is there. But the testimonies that are over 400 years old, the relics of the time of houses and furnitures and burial sites and so much of 400 years of history that has been kept and has become such an intricate part of our nation of today. The testimony that lives on, though it's 400 years old, it still lives on to this day. And I think about us, how we all have a testimony to share. We as Christians, we are being used of God in a practical way to touch people's hearts. We're being used of God in a significant way to help people make right decisions. We are used of God in such a marvelous way to point people to Christ and to let them know there's a better reason for living. This is what our testimony is. This is what this church stands for. The reason should never be an excuse to justify the way we are, but the reason is the excuse to show what Christ has done in our lives. How he has taken us, for some of us that were sinners, and he's changed us into saints. For some of us that were drug addicts and changed us into clean people that are not involved with it. For others involved with alcoholism, and now they're set free and they're no longer in the bondage of alcoholism. We can talk about pornography. We can talk about many different traits of lying and stealing and the mastery of the society we live in today, of living two lives. But when Christ comes in your heart and when he comes in your life, he changes you. He rearranges you. He does something in you that you could not do in your own power or in your own self. What a testimony that each of you have. I'm looking today at testimonial people here. I'm now looking at a congregation that just comes to church on Sunday morning just to show your face and put an offering in the plate. I'm looking at people that have changed lives. The people that God has touched and has miraculously changed you and made you who you are. And what a testimony you are. Yeah, you may fail. You may blunder. You may flunder. You may bumble and fumble the ball at times when it's thrown at you. But that's humanity. None of us are perfect. We're just forgiven. But it doesn't give us an excuse to keep on doing wrong. If anything, it encourages us to keep on doing right. Christ is constantly at work in our lives, just as he was at work at the woman's life at the well. He was much as work in her life as he's in our life today. So let me just share with you, if I could, 3 points. First one is this. When we have truly experienced Christ in a new way, we cannot help but talk about it with others. We cannot help but to talk about it with others. You know, I remember when I became a Christian, when I first became a Christian, I was a chainsaw Christian. Now, some of you may say, what's that? I was a type of person who got a new chainsaw and I would cut down everything in sight. I was a George Washington of the day. I was cutting down cherry trees, walnut trees, oak trees, chestnut trees. Any tree in my way, I would just cut it down. Zip, 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 zip. And when I became a Christian, that's what I would do. I would just share Christ and I would cut people down. Now, it wasn't the best way to witness, but that's how I did it because I was cruel. I was rude. I was not a clean character in a way. But yet, when God got a hold of my life, he changed my spirit. My outward life needed to change. I needed to come in line with what God had in store for me. Instead of being a bully, I needed to be a baby in Christ. Instead of being a riotous person who would get in fights, I would be the one that would try to break up fights and allow peace to happen. I was the one that would always try to mend fences that either got broken or knocked down. Before, I would knock down fences, but now being a Christian, I would help rebuild fences, rebuild bridges, because that was my character. And that's the way I was brought up. In order to survive, I had to do what I had to do. I had no choice. I had to. Because we grew up in a family who I had a father who was an alcoholic. I had a mother who died at 14 and 8 kids in our family. We had to live. We had to fend for ourselves. So I didn't have anybody to come to my defense. I did have brothers and sisters. When we got in problems, we all came together and we fought. And boy, did we fight. But yeah, at the same time, when I became a Christian, God changed my life. He changed my heart. See, each of us cannot help but to tell others what Jesus has done in our hearts. Even I have people tell me, I go into jail. And people say, why do you go into jail? What good is it? It's good. It's good what I do. Because I share with others what Christ has done in my life and what he can do in their lives. It's a testimony of God's love. It doesn't matter if I get the fruit of that or not. It doesn't matter to me. But the kingdom of God is getting the fruit. The kingdom of God is being touched. And people are being used of God in other ways, in other churches, because their lives are being changed. It's interesting to see how God does great things. Storytelling may be a narrative on our account, but it's really the reason why the New Testament is so appealing. It is filled with personal eyewitness accounts of God at work in people's lives. Think about the man that was blind who now could see. What a testimony. How did you receive your sight? Jesus came along and he spit on the ground and he took some mud. He picked up some dirt and put it in his hand and he spit in his hand, mixed together and anointed my eyes. Who would ever think that God would heal somebody by his spittle? Right? Who would ever think that God would heal somebody by his spittle, by his spit into mud? He created man out of the dust of the ground. Can he heal somebody as well? Sure he can. Nothing is out of the power of God and what God can do. Maybe it's not conventional in our eyes, but in his eyes, he does all things perfect. Christ is constantly at work in our lives, just as he has worked in the lives of the woman at the well. And I want you to know that. It was all planned out. Jesus says, I must go through Samaria. In other words, I must do this. I must do that. If you ever feel and ever have felt that you had to do something and you didn't know why you had to do it, you know, you're like, I just got to do it. Why? I don't know. I just got to do it. You learn over time. You just do it. Let God bring the results. Let God bring the change. Let God do whatever he got to do. You know, when I was on vacation, it's really something small, but I don't like carrying change in my pocket. My wife knows that. If I can get rid of it, I get rid of it. I'm in the store. There's this little boy there. I asked his grandfather, hey, can I give him this? He goes, yeah, I guess. You want to give it? Yeah. I took the change out of my pocket. I put it in a little boy's hand. Boy, you should see him light right up. His eyes are bigger than saucers. And as I was walking around the store, my wife and I were shopping. That boy kept on looking at me. He was looking. The grandfather says, no one ever has ever done anything like that for him. And the grandfather says to him, I'm raising him because his parents are in jail. Think about that. I didn't know that. I just felt led to do it. See, church, you just don't know the lives you are going to touch. You don't know the lives that you're going to change. You don't know who you're going to touch. You just don't know. You know, be very careful in not listening to the Lord. Because if you don't listen to the Lord, be very careful in listening to the Lord. There you go. Be very, very careful listening to the Lord. Because the Lord speaks to you. He speaks to you for a reason. He really does. He speaks to you for a reason. Secondly, a main function of good testimony is that it elicits action on the hearer. It elicits action. You got to do something. You got to do something. This is a part that is keen in businesses, in the business world, and they try to take advantage of it. Satisfied customers are far better advertisement than the slickest of the New York marketing firms can ever produce. Word of mouth, as the scripture today bears out, is a powerful motivator, especially when the words are well measured and come from the heart. Word of mouth. What brought you to this church? What brought you to Christ? Was it the word of mouth? Was it somebody in this church? Because the word of mouth has great power. Good and what? Bad. Good and bad. We want good, don't we? Word of mouth. During our spring convention with Brother Wes, many people were touched by the Holy Spirit. I still reflect back on that. It's been a month now. Some were saved. Some were healed. Some were delivered. Some were filled with the Holy Spirit. God was moving in a mighty way here. And I believe God continually wants to move in a mighty way. We are blessed by His presence. We're blessed by His Holy Spirit. We really are, church. And God wants to move among us. The response by our speaker elicited response and enlisted people to respond to what he was saying. And because of that, we see that God moved among us in a mighty way. But we know that when God moves among you and God does something in you, and then you start to tell other people about it, a person may reject what you're saying. But you can't take away from the fact of what God can do. You can't take away from the fact of what God can do. I know this to be true because I share Christ with many people. Some will say to me, that's for you. I say, no, that's for you. It's not for me. It's for you. It's quite discouraging when you witness to people and they don't receive what you're saying. But don't be discouraged, because you need to know today, they're not rejecting you. Who are they rejecting? God. They're rejecting Christ. Even though our testimony may not be the word that brings an unbeliever to accept Christ as their Savior immediately, know this, that it's our job to sow seed. We are sowing. We're casting. We're putting it out there. It's going to fall. Some is going to fall on foul ground. Some is going to fall on rocky ground. But some is going to fall on good ground. And when it falls on good ground, it's going to take hold, and it's going to grow, and it's going to bring results. I'm planting my garden, and I put plastic down. People always ask me, why do you put plastic down? Because I want to control the weeds. I don't plant weeds. Weeds just grow. I don't sow weeds. Weeds just grow. Plain and simple. There's a lot of preparation that you do as a Christian to protect your life so weeds don't grow in your life. Stay daily in God's word. Stay daily in prayer. Come to church. Go to Bible study. Bring your kids to church. Allow all the ladies and the men that you saw up here today that made a commitment to raise your children and help you raise your children in the Lord. Take advantage of what you have before you. I'm mystified that parents, they don't want their kids to miss out on some of the things in culture life, but yet they're missing out on the greatest thing they have in their spiritual life for the church or for their kids, which is a church. Why do you want to forsake the church? The church is going to get your kids to heaven. My wife and I, we watched Pastor Dennis preach on death and life. What a powerful sermon he preached. What a powerful sermon. He said it's not about life, it's about eternal life. Why do we fail to forget that? If our testimony is not true, if our testimony is not honest, people are going to look at us and say, you're fake, you're not real. Church, there's power in your testimony. Let me go to my last point, finally. When we witness to others and we experience Christ for or when they experience Christ for themselves, God's kingdom grows and Christ is glorified. Church, that's what it is. That's what it's about. It's about them coming and experience Christ. It's about them coming to a place in their life where God gets a hold of them and they are able to glorify God. Something happened in them. Couldn't happen any other way. A month ago, one of the ladies that I ministered in the jail, she doesn't come to this church, but she goes to another church and she got water baptized. And when she got water baptized, in her water baptism, she said it, and I told the pastor, you should have stopped her from saying it. He goes, but she advertised your church. She goes, he said, I couldn't stop her. but she said that she was getting baptized. I want to thank Pastor Grenier from Oneonta Assembly of God for his ministry in the jail, because without him, I would not be here today. You know, church, it's not about me. I know it's not about me. I know it's not. It's about Christ. It's about Christ. That's what it's about. See, you just will never know the lives that you will touch. You just never know. Testimonies draw people to Christ. That's what testimonies do. They draw people to Christ. When you see someone hurting or someone who's in need of a prayer or somebody who having a rough day or a bad day, it's one thing to add on to their plate, but it's another thing to help them take some things off of their plate. Give them encouraging words. Say something encouraging to them. We saw a waitress when we were away on vacation, and she was having a bad day. There was no question about it. She was having a bad day. And I remember when she came to our table, we said to her, "You're having a bad day, aren't you?" She shook her head and said, "Don't worry, we're not going to give you a hard time." And we were able to help her. And we were able to bless her by giving her a good tip. You know, there's something when you help and give somebody else a word of encouragement. And a word of encouragement doesn't have to be words, right? It could be action. It could be a tip. It could be something of that nature that just encourages them. You know, that's what we have the power to do that. We have the power to do that. Why do we hold back? When you experience Christ's personal presence in your life, that's when you are changed forever. You are changed. Wouldn't it be great to see them change? And the only way that's going to happen is by you witnessing to them. The Samaritan woman at the well, when she met Jesus, she was changed and she was what? Amazed. She was changed and she was amazed. This man who she met knew everything about her and said everything about her. Yeah, you're right. You answered right, he said to her. Because the person you're with right now is not even your husband. You had five husbands. The one you're with now is not even your husband. You're not even married. Boy, that probably shocked her. Shocked her. Got her attention right away. And she realized then that he was a Messiah. And the first thing she went into town and she witnessed to everybody that was there. Everyone that was there. Come and see. Come and see the person who told me everything. Come and see. That's what testimony does. When we share our experience, how Christ and we encounter Christ with them. They then find him. And they, us sharing, they get the point that they need to share. And then when they share and then people take it on, then they realize that there's something here happening. The scripture really says and brings out in verse 45, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for our own selves and we know this is truly the Savior of this world. How many of us have come to this church or have come to a relationship with Christ because somebody witnessed to us and shared Jesus with us? And then we believe them, and then we start reading the scripture. We start going to church, and we start saying, I believe because I have heard and I have seen. Church, that's what we need to get back. The scripture tells us that these people from Sychar didn't want Jesus to leave them. They wanted Jesus to stay with them. He spent 2 days with them. The people of the village wanted Jesus not to go. They wanted him to stay. They wanted to hear more. You know, it's like eating a good meal. You don't want to push the plate away because it tastes so good. It's so good. You just want to keep on eating it and eating it. This is what these people were doing here. They didn't want Jesus to leave because what he was saying was true. And once we experience to live in Christ, we will never want our lives to be void of his presence again. We want him in our life. We know. We understand. We believe. That's where we are at. That's where all of us need to be at in our lives. I believe the scripture is a model for the church development here today. If this church is going to develop, if this church is going to continue to grow, we need to follow this model of sharing Jesus with others. Each of you need to have a testimony. And I'm sure you do have a testimony. If you don't, start thinking about a testimony that God has done something in your life. Start thinking about it. And then start sharing it. This is the model that God has laid down for the development of the church. It's simple, really. Yet it is often excluded from a lot of people because we're afraid. Just the other day, I got a call from a lady telling me that this gentleman was an alcoholic and he wanted to commit suicide, and I needed to talk to him about Christ. And she asked me, will I meet with him? And, you know, I'm very busy getting back from vacation. But I said to this woman, did you share Jesus with him yet? She goes, oh, Pastor, I really feel bad. I feel shameful. I'm afraid to share Jesus. You don't have a problem telling him where to go get help. But yet you have a problem telling him how Jesus has changed your life and how he can change his life. So there's something missing there. There's something missing there. Because that's the first prescription that you should give to them. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them about Jesus. And then I said, until that happens, don't give my number to him yet. Share with him about Jesus. And once you do, then by all means, give him my number and have him contact me. Not you anymore, but him. He's got to reach out. He's got to reach out. Same way we reach out to the Lord. We got to reach out. Your mother can't do it for you. Your father can't do it for you. Your brother and your sister can't do it for you. You know, you get what I'm saying? It's you. You got to reach out. That's the model. Oh, church, I got so much more I got to say, but I'm going to leave it there. The Spirit of Christ is very contagious. We are living in some turbulent times. There's no question about it. But boy, what an opportune time to share Christ with other people. What an opportune time to share Christ with other people. The worship team is going to make their way up here. But each of you have a testimony. Each of you have something to share. Don't destroy it. Don't destroy your personal testimony. It's not worth it. It's not. It's not worth destroying your testimony for a moment of pleasure. For a moment of pleasure. For a moment of pressure. For a moment of priorities.